Jesus.
Wow.
Wow.
You're so big.
So big.
So loving.
So loving.
So kind.
So kind.
We say sorry.
Sorry.
We're not perfect.
We're not perfect.
And we don't listen.
No, don't listen.
But we say thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. For your love.
Love.
And for our family. We say, please.
Please.
Jesus, help.
Jesus, help.
Our friends who are hurting. Help us follow you.
Follow you.
And love others.
Love
in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The White Flag, a podcast about surrendering to Jesus in our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. I'm your host. I'm not the expert, but I am your host, Jonathan Moynihan, coming to you from right outside of Baltimore. And today, I am here with a very unique guest, third ever in-person guest.
Yes.
Friend of mine. He is a former veteran of the United States Marine Corps. He is a dad. He is a husband. I know what he does, but I still couldn't tell you what he does in some ways. We can dive into that. But first and foremost, Kyle Warfield, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah.
This will be fun.
Yeah. So Kyle, like I said, former Marine, married to the wonderful, beautiful, hilarious servant leader, Becky Warfield, serves in Mosaic Kids Ministry.
And agreed.
You've got three kids.
Yes.
Give us their names and their
ages. All right, so they are currently 1, 3, and 5. Monty is the baby. Penny, the middle child, my only girl, and then Jack, my oldest. But in 64 days, they will be 2, 4, and 6. Their birthdays are just pow.
Yeah. Okay, 2, 4, 6.
Yeah.
And Kyle, you serve in kids ministry and mm-hmm. have for a long time.
Yes.
Before you met Becky.
Yes.
So, and you just real briefly, just so people know, you're not some like ministry, youth ministry guru. Like, what do you do to actually make money to provide for your family?
Okay. All right. So,
this isn't a plug for your business, but you know what I mean.
So, I do a couple things. I build and I inspect. I build as bathrooms and basements and kitchens and stuff.
Yes.
All that stuff's kind of on the side for fun. It's a hobby I get to make money doing.
Yeah.
I actually like doing it a lot.
Okay.
Sometimes Becky, you know, she likes it when I'm home. I don't have a project going on. And then a couple weeks goes by and she's like, you should go rustle up some work because you're maybe here more often than is best for us.
Okay.
But my day job, my 9-to-5, I do real estate, like home inspections
great.
And stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It's important to me that people know that because you are a, like, very real example of just a man who has a vocational job, who loves Jesus, and is actively trying to raise up children who love Jesus, and even in some ways pour into their spiritual development at young ages, but you don't get paid to do that. Like, you're not a minister who has this obligation to lead a good family. There's a conviction for you of wanting to lead a family that grows in relationship with Jesus. So
yeah.
Everything that we're going to dive into, I'll go into why I'm interviewing you in a moment, but it's important that people know you're just a regular dude who's passionate about this stuff, and that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to
yes, have you. Regular is correct. I listened to the one that you did with Carl a little yeah. while ago,
yeah.
and you would ask him a question, and he'd be like, yeah, it's just like it says in Obadiah 9. I was like, Obadiah is a book of the Bible?
Yeah,
I guess I should read that one. Or he'd be like, yeah, 2 Timothy 7:32.
2 Timothy.
Yeah, and you'd be like, no, it's 34, dog.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not me. If you ask me a question, I'd be like, it's in the Bible, right?
Yes.
It's one of those books is
love
in
it.
There. So,
love
yeah,
it.
Man, I'm about as average casual Kyle
listen, dude.
As you can get.
Listen.
So,
the reason I really wanted you to be on was because one of the things we do as a church is called family dedication. And it's when, instead of doing infant baptism, because we don't see that as a precedent in Scripture, we instead see a moment where parents can commit to raise their children to know Jesus. And you, Kyle, having been involved in students for so long, have become one of the influential voices, especially male influential voices in the ministry. And so for the last several family dedications, you have done somewhat of a teaching for parents about engaging them in prayer and kind of walking through why praying, even with a young child who's not even like cognitively aware of what's happening, why that's important, what happens when you step into that space, and how you do it well. And after we did family dedication together, I think for the third time, I was really like, this is so benefit. It has impacted the way I help institute prayer in my family. And I was like, Kyle, you don't strike people as like the white flag guy. Like you, like I talked to some friends, like, oh, I'm interviewing Kyle. They go, Kyle.
Which Kyle?
Kyle Warfield. Really? And it's not because you aren't faithful in your following, in your practices of following Jesus, but like, you know, there's, you're a go-get it guy. You're a loud, boisterous, fun, magnetic dude. And that's not a fault. It's not a flaw at all, but it is really, it was just so encouraging and challenging to hear you walk through how you've kind of instituted this with your family. And so my goal for this, both for us to just explore together, but then also for everybody listening, is to just kind of get into your brain a little bit and what we've seen to be really helpful for people of anyone who has young children that they want to sort of build some rhythms of prayer, for anyone who wants to have children one day, because these are all things really helpful. And then really for anyone who wants a more accessible dialogue about starting a rhythm of prayer, even for their own self. So that's sort of who we're talking to today, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show.
Yeah, so it's cool that I'm the guru of the layman.
I'm trying to compliment you, but it sounds like I'm insulting you as I say.
No. I appreciate that, because when Mallory, our kids ministry director, approached me
Shout
years
out Mallory,
ago,
right. Shout yeah, out Mal.
She approached me years ago about like, hey, do you want to give like a, can you give like a 10-minute like how to pray with your kids kind of thing? And I think the main reason why she asked me was because there was going to be a couple hundred people there. Well, maybe 100 people there.
Yeah.
And there were going to be like kids in the, it's kind of like doing a like Sunday, but with all the kids in the room.
It's a so TED Talk and a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes. It's so she's like, I just need somebody loud that can yell over the kids and isn't necessarily terrified to talk in front of these. So I was like, yeah, I can do that. And so I'm a very brass tacks, like, keep it simple as possible for me. So I was like, all right, so what am I going to tell these people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do I do? And then I had to think about what I did.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. This is what I do. So it's very, very kind of basic and A, B, and C or whatever, if you will. But
before we jump in, let me ask you this one last question. Where would you put yourself on like a spectrum of someone who, you know, when you think of someone who really prays, there's almost like this monk-like visual that we make. What was your prayer life like as a believer before children? Is this like a new passion that's kind of come online as a dad, or have you always been passionate about prayer?
No.
So yeah, tell me about that.
I wouldn't
real quick.
Even I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. I wouldn't even say that I'm passionate about prayer now. Okay. I just know that I'm supposed to do it and I'm trying to obey, and honestly, having kids really crystallizes like you should obey certain things or whatever, or it just kind of crystallizes the way that you can understand the way God looks at you or feels about you.
Yes.
And so like just having kids, and especially when they start coming online, like when you have a 4-month-old kid, it's, you know,
different.
Just kind of stare at you. It's tough, too, because they can't even hold their neck up yet. So anyway, so I just was like, all right, I should pray. I want my kids to pray. I want my kids to feel, I want them to practice gratitude and like repentance and stuff.
Yes.
So I that's where I'm coming from.
Beautiful. I think that's even more encouraging, because even for myself, like, there's projections you make about people who talk about prayer a lot or talk about spiritual disciplines, and you kind of just assume, wow, they must love them, be so passionate about them, do them all the time and never fail. And the reality is, many of us, you know, you talking about prayer with your children, me and my, there's ways in which we fall all the time, or we just do it out of obedience.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, like every aspect of obedience, whether you're a kid or a worker or a child of God, it's like, you just have to choose to do it sometimes. It's not always going to come out of the overflow of your emotions and stuff like that.
And I have to build myself disciplines to pray. Like, so when I pray by myself, and maybe I'm looking at my phone, I got a list of prayers that I'm praying for. I'm not usually not praying out loud.
Yep.
I don't really feel that. I don't really feel emotion in that moment really ever.
Mm.
Now, I pray on Tuesday mornings with a couple guys just over the phone, and just the act of literally hearing the words, and like knowing, like I know if I'm praying about somebody that's written on my phone, I know who it is and what the scenario is. But when I hear that person ask for the thing that they want, that the emotionally, it just changes for me. So, beautiful. Like, there's an additional, like, discipline built in of, like,
yes.
setting my alarm and spending 8 minutes with yeah. these men on Tuesday morning. Not because, I mean, I do believe prayer works, of course, but mm-hmm. because that's how I need to experience prayer to continue to do it
so good.
Faithfully.
Yes,
so.
Totally. Okay, so just kind of jump into how you would begin talking about sort of prayer with your kids, or what's like an introductory point you'd make of someone who's sitting here listening, like, okay, I want to get better at prayer, or praying with my kids, or one day having kids, I want to start praying with them.
Okay. Well, if you start early enough, they're too young to know what's happening, right? If they're mm-hmm. a year old, and you tuck them in, you sing them a song, you read them a book, and then right before bed, you just say, hey, Jesus, thanks for, you know, Jack. He's a cool dude. Help him grow. We love you. Mm. This months can go by where they might be thinking, they can't say it yet, but they might be thinking, this is weird. Who are they talking to? I think I'm the only other person here right now. But, you know, it's normal, right? Yeah. If you start early enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, praying at, like, meal times, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about kind of when that, like, how that makes sense and sometimes how it doesn't make sense sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a practice. You're just practicing gratitude with your kid, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I've just always done it because it was important to me. But yeah, I can't answer that question.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. So, you know, where would you like to begin? You know, like, I specifically asked you to come on. I know you did some prep work. Like, where would you start?
Yeah. So, I grew up a Christian,
okay.
which meant that in the 90s. There was a lot of, like, weirdness. There's plenty of weirdness still.
Sure. Yeah, yes.
But it feels like there was more weirdness in the 90s as far as, like, what you're supposed to do, how being a Christian is supposed to look.
Okay.
We went through a couple periods growing up where we weren't allowed to listen to Christian music.
Okay.
Because it has a beat. And that beat is...
Drums are bad.
Dangerous, dude. Yeah. Because...
Percussion.
I remember this so clearly. We were listening to some guy, and he was like... I've never had anyone get up in the middle of my sermon and start dancing because it's the beat. The beat is what gets people moving, and that's dangerous or something. I don't know. But anyway.
So weird.
So, yeah, there was a lot that's of that weird. Stuff.
Yeah.
So I kind of grew up in that. And so in my 20s and 30s, I rebelled against that by mm-hmm. just getting to the basic, like, what am I doing and why?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, to break down, like, kind of why I pray with my kids. Mm-hmm. I got a couple things. So the first thing is it's just a good discipline.
Okay.
So I think of it this way, and maybe this analogy is silly, but it's something that my inspector build brain kind of came up with. Praying is important, but it's not important the same way like wearing a seatbelt is important. So wearing a seatbelt is precautionary. If you wear a seatbelt every day forever and you never get in a crash, you technically wasted your time, okay? No, not a lot of time,
yeah.
But it didn't do you any good. Now, if you always wear your seatbelt and then one day you don't, and mm-hmm. then that's the day you crash, you don't get, like, points for all the other time that you wore the seatbelt,
okay.
right? Praying is more like brushing your teeth. It's, like, it's maintenance,
okay?
All of it contributes to your dental hygiene, right? If you take a couple months off or whatever... Your teeth are going to suffer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever done this thing where, like, maybe you weren't as good up on your teeth discipline as you should have been, and it's like, well, I'm going to the dentist tomorrow, so I'll brush today.
You brush real hard.
That can't work,
and
right?
And then you floss, hoping, and they still say, hey, you don't floss, do you? And you're like, do I lie, or just...
So I think you just have to pray regularly and start early, especially with your kids. Just start early. I kind of another way again. I'm gonna stretch this analogy.
Let's go,
okay?
baby. Let's go.
If you hardly ever pray, and that you know, like the diagnosis comes back and it's bad, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can just step right in and like feel God's presence.
Yeah.
Like totally right away.
Yeah.
Maybe you can, but that's never been true for me, and I've struggled with praying regularly.
Yeah.
And that has not worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray regularly and with my kids because. I want it to be second nature mm-hmm. when, like, I really need to pray.
Well, and that's in line with Jesus' illustration at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's almost just saying, like, okay, this is a small way of laying a solid foundation so I'm not on sand, because inevitably when the storm comes, I'm not screwed.
Yeah. And the other thing about this silly analogy that kind of works, if you miss one brush, you're going to be fine.
Yes, very true.
So, you know, you've done this. You got young kids. I'm sure you've done this a bunch of times. You're at somebody's house. You're having a party. There's cake. There's candy. You stay late.
Way too late, yeah.
And it's time to go. You throw your kids in the van. You drive home. They're definitely asleep when you get home.
Yep.
Do you wake them up to brush their teeth?
Absolutely
no,
not.
No, dude.
Absolutely
you,
not.
You throw them
I
in.
I let the sugar rot in their mouth.
Yeah. They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a lot of weird energy around prayers sometimes as far as like when we have to pray and like how we have to pray.
It's almost as if you lose points with God by missing a day or two.
Yes.
Like you would on like a YouVersion Bible plan app or something. It's like, oh, I ruined my streak with God, so now.
Yes, yes. Yep. It doesn't seem to be like that at all.
No.
Right?
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff like that. Like, I mean, there's like all the denominational prayers.
Yeah.
How did it go? Oh, shoot. I wish I could remember what it was. But, bless us our Lord and these thy gifts which we are
about to receive.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah.
know it. It's just like this memorized prayer that,
yes.
that people say. Or like, God is great. God is good. Yeah, God, thank you for this food.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That can't mean anything, right?
Yeah, I think it was birthed from like a liturgical experience collectively where you do it together.
Yeah.
But as things got more individualistic, it became like, hey, if you say this a couple times, then you're good. And then over time you realize like, this means nothing.
Yes.
It just means nothing. Like I'm just, yes.
I was thinking about it and I did a little, I kind of looked around. Did Jesus ever tell us you have to pray every meal? I know he prayed a fair bit of times during meal. Like he prayed after the feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense. Miracle and all.
Yeah.
He prayed when he instituted communion.
Yes.
Also kind of a big deal.
Yes, also.
And I know he prayed after the resurrection. He met two dudes on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they hung out and he broke bread and they prayed and then they ate it. But I think that was kind of it as far as like the eating and the praying. So
you see some evidence in the first century church's gatherings where like, because meals weren't a given in society.
Yeah.
When they would gather and they'd have a meal, there was literal gratitude. Like, we have food today.
You can eat today.
So I think our the sensitization of actually having food. Like we take it for granted.
Yes.
And so I think in some sense what you're getting at is we say we're grateful, but like we actually aren't.
We're doing the motion. We're doing the thing that we're supposed to do.
I know I'm going to eat. It's like Carl's bit about don't ask God to bless his food to your bodies when you get Taco Bell at midnight. It's like you're asking for God to do a metaphysical miracle to make this food nutritional for you.
And are you ever in a moment where you're with people and you're about to eat and then like you see them realize, oh, I'm with the pastor.
And then they have to bring
pray.
It up.
Yeah.
Well, I was with some church planners who minister in very like secular, deeply progressive cities. And some of them even sense, like, if I sit and pray for this meal with someone who's a non-believer in the city, I'm actually going to, like, spook them from leaning into my convo. So what they do instead is say, hey, they do a toast. And they toast to Jesus. And they just do, like, a, hey, God, thanks for this. We're grateful for this. And they toast. And that's it. And so, like, they're modifying the way in which they're showing gratitude to God. But like a guy ministering in the heart of San Francisco with a non-believer who's leaning into the gospel a little, if you ask him like bow your head before the food, he's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like I can't do that.
But All right.
Anyway.
No, and I, again, we're kind of wandering.
We're not even talking about kids yet.
But like, when you get your, you know, you make your chicken nuggets or whatever you eat late at night.
Yeah.
And you kind of drag it in front of the TV or whatever. I'm not.
Sure. I do bowls of cereal.
I don't often pray like. Yes, thanks
I'll make
for these
a,
nuts,
I'll make a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and watch like YouTube late at night.
Yeah. Do you pause and pray?
No,
100%. No.
I know. I'm pretty sure God's like, you don't need those carbs, buddy.
Yeah.
Like all that sugar milk you don't need.
All right. So I think we almost drove the brushing and
it's
the
It's a practice
into
of maintenance.
Ground. Yes. Prayer.
Practice of maintenance.
Prayer is not precautionary.
Yeah.
Prayer is just like eating and showering and brushing. It's maintenance.
Gotcha.
All right. And I... Becky helped me with this a little bit.
Okay.
She helped crystallize it. But I was like, prayer's like brushing. All right. Can we do like a, can we build that into a routine? So it's like, all right, well, I brush twice a day. All right. You spray with your kids twice a day. All right. I like it. Pick a meal and then bedtime.
Hmm.
I floss occasionally.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I mean, so pray occasionally, right? And that's like non-scheduled times of like frustration, anger, sadness. You know, when you wake your kid up because they had a nightmare.
Yeah.
I will, in that moment, be like, yeah, you know what? Dear Jesus, just help Penny go back to sleep. Like, mm-hmm. She's not in any danger. She's at home. She's with her dad.
She's safe.
She couldn't be safer.
That's good.
So that's going to, in or like right after the temper tantrum or yeah. during or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? So that's just kind of as needed.
That's good.
And then like, all right, so you're supposed to go see a dentist.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is the one.
What's the Becky metaphor helped me here out. For that?
Go somewhere holy with your kid and pray every once in a while.
Okay. Like, even if it's just once a year, twice a year. Yeah.
So like I was going to take Jack, my oldest, camping this weekend, just one night, just the two of us. It's too cold. We're not going this weekend.
Okay.
But we're going to go soon. And it's just like, it's an opportunity to practice the wow part of the prayer that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
The adoration part, where you're just like, you're just with your kids, like outside somewhere, looking at the ocean and go, dang.
Wow,
God.
Yeah,
you good. Did this, you know? Mm. And yeah, that again, we're talking about brushing our teeth.
Yeah.
But that kind of makes sense to me. So I'm going to try that.
I've even heard stories of like with older children, it's like, hey, I'm going to take my young teen boy where I propose to mom. And it's like overlooking the water. But like this is like a family moment and they view it as holy because this is where like God brought mom and dad together. And like there's just even like dynamics there that you can go beyond.
Perfect example.
Yeah, just something that's like, formative for you.
I might take Penny camping. I don't know. But like whatever version of that would be with her.
Yeah,
like,
what's going to make her say wow is what you're getting at.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
So it's like maintenance. You've got this flossing like when you need it. And then you've got like going to the dentist, like building in the practice of prayer, significant. What would you add to this, you know, even thinking about the dynamic of praying with kids? Like obviously it gets interesting.
Yes. Praying with your kids or any kids can get very – so kids have no filter, right?
Yeah, you've been serving in kids for years.
Doesn't grow in. So like this was years ago, but I remember one girl. She's one of four girls. I think that one of four girls. They had a brother kind of show up later. But I see her every week, and I go, hey, what's going on, Abby? How's life? And she said, I'm doing great. My dad had surgery on his penis. I don't think she connected those two together. Like, I'm great, dad, sir. But I said, I'm not sure why you shared that with me. Now, I followed up later. He's good. He just had a vasectomy. That's all.
Yeah.
But she felt the need to tell me and who knows how many other strangers that her dad had some penis issues to work out that week. It happened this week with you, John.
Uh-oh.
So you served and you like led large group
for the elementary
kids, right?
Yes.
And my boy, he's in there for both services. We have two services.
I know where this
because,
is going.
Because you know, mom and dad serve and all this stuff, and it's fun.
Yeah.
So a couple things happened. you did it, and Agnes did it the first service. So
one of our staff members did first service. I did second.
I was sitting with him for a second service. I happened to be serving in there that day, and you were telling the story of Joseph.
Yes.
And his 12 brothers, and you know. The very, very fast version of the story is his brothers were horrible to him. They sold him into slavery. And then 20 years later, their brothers are looking for food. They go to this rich guy, basically, and says, this guy's giving out food. It happened to be Joseph. They didn't recognize that it was Joseph, but Joseph recognized them. And you said to the kids, how would you feel if your brothers are mean to you and they showed up looking for French fries?
Mm-hmm.
Jack turned to me and he said, I would feed them poisonous French fries. And then they would die. That's what he said. And he also told me, look, I'm just being real. I said, hey, how was church today, buddy? He said, great. But Miss Agnes was better than Mr. John. And I said, oh, you don't have to tell him that. Like, we can keep that between us. And then, you know, large group ended and we kind of scatter and he goes right to you.
Yeah, he did.
And he starts talking. I don't know what he's saying. And I go, oh, okay, he's telling him. So then I go to you and him. I'm like, buddy, we were keeping this to ourselves. And I was like, yeah, he said Agnes was better, but, you know, and then you were like, what? And then I realized.
He didn't tell me that.
I realized Jack was talking about poisonous French fries.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, dang.
So then I see Agnes. She goes, how was elementary? I'm like, not as good as you, apparently.
Yeah.
Because Jack Warfield made sure I knew it.
Yeah, dude. Poisonous french fries. You better... Don't cross my boy Jack. All right,
good to know.
But it's fun, man. It's easy. And, like, a little bit more real. Like, you and Carl, you guys have this romantic relationship with the Bible that I really wish that I had. And I do my reading as best I can, as often as I... Not as often as I should, but as often... I'm getting there. I'm working on it.
We all are, man.
You know, I ask God to teach me something, and I stare at the words, and usually I'm just staring at the words, right? But praying with your kids, it's so easy, and it's so intimate, and it's good for me, it's good for them, it's fun, it's easy.
So you're actually saying, by praying with your kid, because some people could make the judgment that you have to be a certain level of mature and holy and learned to go do this. And you're actually saying it's probably one of the most accessible things you can do.
It's the most accessible because spiritual thing with your kids. Because the bar is so low for them. Yeah.
You don't need to impress them.
Yeah.
And it's just you kind of willing to step into it.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to have it together.
Yeah, I mean, like, if your kid asks you a question you're not ready for, you know, you'd have to kind of be ready to answer that question.
That's
you
true.
Know.
But as they get older, like, that'll be more difficult.
Yeah.
But a five-year-old...
Praying with your kids is easy. Just like, you know, Lord, we need help today. thanks for being here. We love you. Amen. You know, there's hundreds of versions of those prayers. That's really, really easy to start with.
And so before we jump into, like, practically what it looks like, you know, to the person who's maybe thinking, okay, I do want to do this, what's the last little bit of encouragement you give them, like what the parent's going to get out of this? Because so much of parenting is sacrifice.
Yes.
But there's two sides to this coin that you're saying, that it is something you're doing for them. You're making deposits in them, but there's clearly something that you get out of it.
Well, I did not understand, and I still don't really, but I didn't understand how God felt about me until I had my own kids.
Yes, dude. Yes.
And it's still not even close.
Yeah, dude.
But the way that I feel about my kids is so much different than I've ever felt about anything.
Yes.
And it crystallizes too, because you want to do what's best for your kids, and like you would take the sickness from them if you could when they're sick. Mm-hmm. But also, what's best for them sometimes. So it's best for them if you keep them from falling down the stairs.
Yes.
But it's also not necessarily best for them if you don't let them kind of balance on the wall and maybe fall.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So just having kids kind of crystallizes in some small way.
The nature way God, of character of God.
My relationship with God.
Yeah, dude.
And praying with your kids, to hear the things that are important to them, sometimes you can be like, that is so silly.
Mm.
But then you go, wait a minute, that's me and God.
Yes,
that's
dude.
Me and God.
Wow.
So you can kind of gain the ability to be a child again
yeah.
in certain ways with God.
That's great. It's good perspective is what you're talking about.
Yes.
That's great. Yeah.
And it'll... I had this conversation with Jack a couple weeks ago. So there's somebody that we both know that got a devastating diagnosis a while ago, a month or so ago. And I've been praying for him for a month. And it's very simple. It's like, you know, I say, Brian needs a miracle. Mm. And most of the time, that's me doing my prayers, right?
Yep.
But I'm praying with Jack and Penny. So Jack and Penny share a room, by the way. So prayer time is like a group event.
A trifecta.
Yeah. So there's a lot of crosstalk.
Yes.
But that's cool.
Very charismatic in the
yes,
Warfield household.
Yes. So I was talking to him. I was kind of wrapping up or praying. And I said, you know, Lord, help us grow. We love you. Mm. And Brian needs a miracle. Mm. Amen. And Jack, he said, oh, what is that? He legitimately was like, that's stupid. I don't know what that is. He didn't know what that word was.
Mm.
And I said, hey, buddy, you know, Mr. Brian's a friend of mine, and he's, like, really sick. And it's something that only God can fix.
Mm.
And he said, well, I mean, doctors can help him get better. And I was like,
maybe.
But but probably not. Like, this is something that we need a miracle.
Yeah.
And so... That was a tender moment for me and for Jack. He gained, I don't know if he could articulate it, but he gained a different level of, like, need for God in that moment, realizing that, like, oh, we can thank God for the day, but there'll be another day tomorrow, but this is something Dad is really asking God for help with.
And so you're hinting at prayer being like an on-ramp to even larger discussions.
Yes.
That probably wouldn't arise just even from like a simple dinner time prayer. Like there's something different about stepping into that with your kid, because eventually, let's say he's 10, there's going to be new tensions and conversation, but like the rhythm of prayer forces you to have like intimacy and talk about those things where he feels safe and
Yeah. And it, the other day he told me, that his friend told him that he needed to have a girlfriend because if he didn't have a girlfriend, people would think he's gay. Okay. I know this sounds like it's out of left field.
Wow.
Right. He's five. He's in kindergarten.
Whoa.
Okay. If I want to be able to, my son to say that kind of stuff to me as often as possible, as comfortably as possible.
Yeah, because as a dad, you want to know this.
How would I have asked him, hey, buddy, just wondering, has anyone told you anything about sexual sin recently that I need to be aware of?
Yeah.
Or like, hey, let me tell you about my friend, Mr. Brian, and he's got cancer, and you know what cancer is? It's just, prayer is like this moment where he can share stuff that doesn't, maybe not even heavy to him.
Yeah.
He wasn't mad or sad about the thing. He was like, hey, by the way, I got a girlfriend. Her name's Christina. She rides the blue bus. I see her at recess. I was like, interesting. Tell me more. And we got to that.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, it's an on-ramp for intimacy with your kid, and it's an on-ramp for him to have intimacy with God.
With God. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, so...
If my other two kids listen to this in years, they're gonna be like, dude, we know your favorite is. Keep talking about Jack. Well, Monty, you can't even speak yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Penny, you're just full of gratitude. You just love being happy. So.
Is your mid child like the rambunctious one, or is she like the most behaved?
No. Well, she's the most defiant.
Yeah. Okay, she's the most
but
defiant.
But she's not but Monty is the most like rageful. So, yeah, awesome. Becky, you're a superhero.
Shout out,
do
Becky.
You, girl. Yeah.
You're great. All right, so someone listening right now, they're hearing you, you know, you're not some, you know, prayer guru who knows everything and walks in this incredible authority, knowing how to do everything. You're just, you believe in this, you're being faithful to Jesus, you're being obedient, you believe in the power of it, you get a lot out of it, you have great dialogue with your kids because of it. You know it's going to benefit their spiritual health. You actually get into their world a little bit better. And so these are all things a parent listening or someone who wants to have kids one day is going to benefit from.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do practically? Because this is where I think the gold comes in specifically. What do you do practically? What's your framework? Can you teach me and anyone else listening? What do you go through for them? And this is going to be beneficial for someone who wants to step into prayer themselves and they're not familiar, or someone who's got kids. Like, what's that framework you use?
So can I say two more things real quick about why?
Yeah.
So, and this one's really practical. It's something for that dad can do. Mm-hmm. I know moms are screaming at their radio right now or their phone, like, change a diaper, make a meal, fold a shirt.
Yeah.
But like, especially with young kids, sometimes dads don't like know what they're supposed to do.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, like the bar's so low, when a dad takes kids to Chick-fil-A, everybody praises him like he's a superhero.
Wow, look at that guy.
And the women are like,
he loves his kids.
I do this every day. Yeah. Wow, what a good dad.
Well,
terrible.
As Becky would say, taking your kids to Chick-fil-A, no problem. Take your kids grocery shopping, okay?
I can't imagine.
That, yes.
I still haven't done that with my kids yet.
I've never done that with my kids.
Yeah.
No.
All right, we'll do another episode on that.
So, and then one other thing, and I'm putting you on the spot here, and I'm sure you don't know the number, but... Over the last 2-3 years, or the whole life of this church, what percentage of men, of the baptisms that we see, what percentage are men?
Oh, it's less than 50.
It's way less than 50, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I think you're looking at probably like 38 to 40% at the high end.
I want to get my boys, especially, practicing gratitude and repentance as soon as possible.
That's beautiful.
Because I don't know, maybe it's about us as we get older, we become more stubborn or more self-sufficient, like, mm-hmm. I can do this, but... The sooner they get used to gratitude and repentance, I'm changing that percentage for
them
as best as I can.
So you're even viewing this as a method of which you want to raise up specifically men to be engaged in the local church.
Yes.
Like, I want to teach gratitude.
I just want them to get baptized.
Yeah, you want them to know Jesus. Yeah, you want them to get baptized, yeah.
So anything I can do to move the needle even a little bit.
Beautiful.
So, all right, so what do I do, right?
Yeah.
So... I was kind of looking at like, and this is when years ago when Mallory asked me to do this, I said, great. And she was like, I have no material for you. So, you know, it's your talk. All right. Well, I guess I better start figuring out what I'm going to do here. So I started at the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. right? And the first thing I noticed, Jesus said, and it's Matthew 6:9, he says, this then is how you should pray. He doesn't say this is what you should pray. He says, this is how you should pray. So then how did he pray, right? The Lord's Prayer, and I think we've all heard it, whether we believe it or not, you know, it's just kind of ubiquitous. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm going to kind of translate it as I go.
Sure.
Just breaking into 2022 language.
Okay.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? Translation, God in heaven, you are awesome. Jesus goes on, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Translation, you know better than us. We want what you want.
Mm.
Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Sorry for the bad things we did and help us forgive the bad done to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us safe, right? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty basic, right? Mm. There's not a lot there. There's a couple other places in prayer where we heard the little words that Jesus spoke in prayer. Luke 23:46, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He says, like, I'm yours and I'm tired. That's what I see there.
Wow.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't know, right? Give them grace. Mm. My God, why have you forsaken me? God, where are you?
Mm. Yeah.
Have you prayed that before? God, where are you? I've prayed that before.
Yeah.
So Jesus didn't, he kept prayer simple, all right? And he told God how he felt, right? I feel like he's a good guy to kind of model as it comes to praying. So
good starting point.
Yeah. So, all right. So there's kind of like four prayers there, or four kind of kinds of prayer, right?
Yep.
So we have the wow prayer, right?
Wow.
Hallowed be thy name. God, you're awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just wow. It's just telling God what we think of him, right? This is like my adoration prayer. Depending on how old your kids are, whoever, you know, you've experienced some version of adoration, right?
Mm-hmm.
My kids are kind of perfect in this, that they have like on a spectrum. When I walk in the door, Jack, my five-year-old, he looks up from what he's doing, he goes, Dad!
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that joyous dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
My three-year-old Penny, she literally squeals.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo! And she runs over to me. And then she's faster than Monty, who's kind of toddling, right?
Mm-hmm.
All he does is giggle and toddle over to me, and he buries his head in my neck,
best,
dude.
The best, dude.
That is the best. That'll change your mood no matter what,
100%,
right?
Yes.
Could we figure out how to do that with God?
Dude.
I'm sure that's what he wants, right?
Yeah.
When we go into that nature, when we're sitting around that campfire, whether we're alone or with our boy or not, if we're looking out on the ocean and go, wow, you're amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the wow prayer.
That's
okay.
Great.
That one's probably the hardest one to kind of communicate, like, to kids or whatever, like, what it is we're doing.
Because
you go, like, God made everything. And they're like, yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yeah. But, I mean, this is really just, like, this is a very passive kind of prayer where you're just sitting in awe, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the wow prayer. Application-wise, you're not going to want to teach this one to your they're just going to kind of experience it, if you will.
Yeah.
They're
going to learn how to give praise to God based on what you say and what you are thanking him for, even. Well,
yes.
I'm getting ahead of myself. Wow is just a wow. Wow's number one.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
So, all right. So we can jump into thanks.
Great.
Right? Thanks is another one.
So wow and then thanks.
Yes.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I don't have any vowel words. It's wow, help, sorry, and thanks. So I don't have an acronym.
That's all good.
And
let's do thanks at the end. Let's do your right order.
There is no order. It's just
okay.
West. I don't know. There's nothing.
West.
W-A-S.
West.
Yeah, there you go. If you're practicing your whist this week.
Whist. Whist.
So, all right. So thanks. This one's easy, right? We get this one.
This is the easiest one for kids to do.
And this is going to be your bread and butter for a while
with
your kids. they're thankful for... They have kids. They're interesting. They have a great imagination, and then also they panic, and they just so be like, "What are you thankful for?" And they'd be like looking around, and they'd be like, "My ceiling fan."
Yeah.
It's like, really? We went to the park today. You had cake.
Yes.
My lamp.
Yeah.
My lamp. I'm thankful for my lamp.
I love lamp.
Yes. So, but yeah, thanks. You're gonna say thanks for. And I've seen a lot of people do some interesting things with this. Like I knew one lady. she had like a, she did it like during the day, mm-hmm. but she asked her kids to say something they were thankful for that day, but they couldn't say something they'd already said.
Yeah.
So, you know, you had to kind of think about it and go, yeah, yeah, I'm thankful for mom and dad. Yeah, that's a very classic. What are you thankful for? Or I'm thankful for, it's hard. Sometimes you can get them to say thank you for my sister.
Yeah, that's,
it's rarely unprompted.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an interesting, it's like, man, what am I thankful for? You know, and they can start thinking about, oh yeah, my friend came over today and we had a good time. We played out in the yard.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's thanks. Help. This one's pretty self-explanatory, right? Help me grow. Help, and like, kids' prayers, they're kids' prayers, right? My boy asked for help to be really fast. He asked the Jesus to bless his legs. Okay.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah,
that's great.
He was racing his younger cousin, who is a girl.
Okay.
And she smokes him. She's way faster than he is. And he threw a temper tantrum, and then that night he was like, Jesus, help me go. Help me get faster. Yeah. So yeah, dude, I like it. Get on it.
My kids sometimes, we're trying to teach them to have a bigger view than just their own lives. So we'll say the phrase like, "Help the people who are hurting today." Because like Ukraine, like I'm not going to tell them like about an Eastern European conflict.
Well, let me explain the difference between a bioweapon and a nuclear. Yeah.
It's like no, but like help the people who are hurting tonight, like stuff like that. Now my oldest will repeat it. She doesn't even think about it. She just includes it. So it's not even like a genuine thought. So there will come a time if you do this where your kids is going to repeat things. And I think that's a great point you made earlier of.
And that's okay. I know that there's just creative things that people can do to kind of just.
Yes.
Whatever this prayer discipline looks like for you, it's not really a formula. There's this is a bunch of tools that you can put in your prayer toolbox.
Yep.
And pull the ones out that work for you, and then put your own tools in there that work for you, or whatever that's going to be.
So you've got wow, you know, talking about how good God is, big God is. Thanks, thanking Him, posture of gratitude, help.
Yes,
you know, help me with things in my life, whatever. And then the last one is
sorry.
Sorry.
Yes.
This is interesting.
And one more thing about help. It will just like we've kind of talked about already. It will sometimes your kids will like. You'll be surprised at how attentive they are or how attuned they are. So we've been praying for some really good friends of ours to have a baby for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's been bedtime prayers with the kids too.
Mm.
And we went and visited them a little while ago at their house, and we were driving home. We didn't talk about it while we were there. We were just hanging out watching football, and on our way home, Jack said, man, I know that Andrew and Katie are having a really hard time. I hope God gives them a baby.
Did that wreck you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm getting wrecked right now. I know. Just thinking about it.
I know. Me too. He gets it.
Yeah.
Or he gets a kernel of it, right? Yeah. He understands that this is something we want. It's something they want. He was there, and he was like, yes, this is something that's going on.
It makes it more real for him.
Yes.
And the fact that he's wanting to include God in that request instead of trying to do it out of his own. Yeah. You know, like you're teaching him, like, there are problems you will face you cannot handle. But you have to include God in these tensions.
Now, to be fair to him, he also suggested that we give them Monty. So.
Man, that's such a smooth play. You know what? Dad, I really want him to have a baby. We should give him Monty.
We got an extra one that can have it. That's great. Okay, yes. So, the sorry prayer.
Wow.
Lord, I don't know if they say Lord that way.
Yeah,
so
we
say Jesus.
Yeah, we say Jesus Lord. A lot,
Jesus, I didn't clean my room today when asked. You know, I wasn't kind or generous to, Penny or whatever. Mm-hmm. Didn't control myself when things didn't go my way. That's a common occurrence in my house.
Yes.
It's kind of like the help prayer, but it's just, the more specific you are, the better.
Yep.
It's instead of saying, sorry, I was bad today or whatever, it's better to say, I really hurt Penny's feelings and like.
Trying to be specific.
They can kind of get combined too, where it's like, I really hurt Penny's feelings. And I didn't mean to, but she had something that I wanted, and so I need help with. And he doesn't use the word patience, but and so I need help with that.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, both of them, Help and Sorry, as specific as possible is better. But, that's great. Man, that's it. Wow, Help, Thanks, Sorry. And whatever order you want.
Whist. Whist.
There's all sorts of things. I don't know.
Just start with a W. We are special.
Well, yeah, if anyone has any, what's the, not a synonym.
Acronym?
No. What's the word means to something? Like a thesaurus. We got to go through the
there's
thesaurus.
There's synonyms. And then there's antonyms, but an acronym is when it like spells something.
No,
right?
It's yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I. I haven't been to school in a long time. All right, hold on. Synonym is a word, two words that are spelled differently that sound the same.
No, synonym is two different words that have similar meanings.
Okay, what's the homonym though?
That's a homonym.
We're going way back.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But anyway, if we
is a homonym something that sounds the same?
I think a homonym is one where it's two exact the two they're spelled exactly the same, but they mean two different.
Anyone
things.
Who's still with us in this episode has turned it off.
Yes. All right,
they're
but
gone.
We need to go. Here's what I'm saying. We need to go through this thesaurus. We
yes.
Need to swap out one or two of these words so and we can give us
something.
A nice, tidy Christian acronym.
All right. So those of you listening, please
submit. Yes.
You know, contact me at the website or on Instagram and send me your recommendations because we need help clearly.
All right, so I have a couple questions for you, actually.
Fire away.
So, hands and eyes, right? We fold our hands, close our eyes. That's just based on like paying attention. That's all.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why we do that, right? And so there's no rule about that.
Yeah.
Where are you at with like the head bowing?
You have to remember like any ritual that's coming from the New Testament church was done out of like reverence or a way of like communal practice.
No, I'm down with the bowing.
Yeah.
I just mean like
with kids.
How do you? Yeah.
Well, I would say so. In our house, stay with me here. Evie's favorite thing to do is correct people on TV or in her life who say, "Oh my God." When someone says, "Oh my God," she is not afraid. But we don't say that. We say, "Oh my gosh," or "Oh my goodness." So we'll watch The Office. And we'll have the audio down so the kids don't really hear it. But Michael Scott will say, "Oh my God," and she'll correct it. We had a family member who said, "Oh my God." And imagine having your 4-year-old, I'm not going to say who it is, granddaughter or niece, walk up to you and be like, "We don't say that." So, and the why though there is we say there, we respect God so much, we only say his name when we're really talking to him.
Yes.
And I would say the bowing thing could be comparable for that if you wanted. Just the context that we minister in Mosaic, so many people coming from broken church backgrounds, I don't think the average person needs help being reverent for God if they believe in him. I think they need help feeling like God is accessible to them.
Yeah.
So in that way, I'm not really like coaching up a bowing right now because I want them to feel like the sovereign, accessible love of God, and bowing is fine and good. But I would probably just say, "Hey, look up to God," or have your hands open, or something. So
yeah,
that's just my thing because I think
we haven't approached it at all yet.
I do like when they close their eyes and fold their hands.
We're in on that because
otherwise they'll just do whatever.
Exactly.
But I like the aspect of like isolating your distractions and like I think it's just a natural way to cultivate an interior life. Like in my own times in the morning, I find myself closing my eyes. And it's not because I feel like I have to, but like it literally helps me just think better.
Yeah.
So there's benefit to that.
All right.
That's what
I'll
do.
Cool.
But we're still in the phase where Evie's really good at it. She's 4. Isla, about half of what she says we understand. And she just repeats. It's like, "Did Jesus have been heaven and I'll pop up in Gigi and for grace and mommy, daddy, and baby shark. Amen." I don't even know what she's saying, but I'm happy she's trying.
So Penny, she doesn't even really pray. Like if we sit down to eat dinner, or who wants to pray? Penny does not want to pray ever. Jack does basically all the praying at dinner. But I'm good with that. Like for now, I'm not gonna make her pray. She's not gonna eat while we're praying, right?
Yes,
she's here with us, and at bedtime I can ask her what she's thankful for and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm I'm not into like the forcing of the ritual or the whatever. Like, we're just talking to God, and if the way you're talking to God is to be in the same room as us,
yeah,
then that's cool, man. I'm down.
And I'm really sensitive to that idea of like, listen, we're talking to God now. Like, we just all have so many church wounds and scars from like those overly forceful practices of the past, or even like just dysfunction you hear from people we baptize in church. Like, hey, what turned you off to church all those years ago? And it's like, just this militant, sort of aggressive, you know, behavior modification more than like encouraging connection with God.
I feel like I've gone too far in the other direction sometimes. Cause look, when my kids were coming up, they're 5, 3, and 1. I was like, yeah, we pray before we eat, but like you can eat. And then when we're all seated, like you can eat a green bean or something. Like you're not allowed to put any sustenance in your mouth until after we've literally blessed the food or whatever. Now, months go by and Becky tells me, you know, being the one that prepares all the food, you guys eating before I've even sat down, that's kind of not cool. So I'm like, all right, mom's got a point.
Deal.
So,
noted.
Yeah.
Got
so,
it.
So, yeah, but it was just like, there's no rule, mm-hmm. right? The food doesn't need to be literally imbued with anything. We're just saying, hey, thanks for being good to us in so many ways, but here's like three right now.
That's great.
Like, and then we love you, amen.
Mm-hmm. And anyone listening, I think it's just really important, like, you know, we're talking about this happening with kids who are about to be soon 6, 4, and 2.
Yes.
Right? This isn't 10-year-olds who are really present. Like, I'd guess the majority of the time, you and Becky are sort of like saying, Jesus, we're doing this in obedience to you. Please do something with it, because I don't see, like, I know that there's good happening, but it's chaos.
Yeah.
You know, please help this, you know, go far and impact the kids' lives. So so the person listening, just release yourself from the temptation to compare or beat yourself up or think that this is some picturesque Last Supper Da Vinci picture of a family, you know, praying. It's probably chaos, and that's part of the season.
Yes. Sometimes we'll finish blessing the food, and Monty will have blessed his food by putting it on the floor.
That's great.
Right?
Which is why Jack wants to give him up to the other family.
Yes.
That's great, dude.
Yeah, so, and don't sleep on the tried and true prayer of Jesus, help.
Amen. So good.
That's a classic in our house.
Oh my gosh. So good.
Seriously. And usually it's not said that calmly. Well, like, maybe
Jesus,
scream.
Help.
There might be an F word in there somewhere, like right before that or right after as an that word. But
expletive.
Yes.
Exclamation.
Bingo. That's the one.
An expletive exclamation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's called alliteration.
Yes. Wow. You've done this before.
We need to go back to school.
You're good at this,
we
dude.
We need to go back to school, dude. Okay, so wow, help, sorry, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, help,
yeah,
sorry, thanks.
Keep it simple. And again, this is not a formula where, okay, we got to put one of each tonight because that's what we do. Just be aware that those are kind of your foundations, and kind of some days you're going to ask for a lot of help.
Yes.
And some days you're going to be filled with gratitude because it was a good day. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to check the prayer box.
That's
right?
Good. That's right. These are tools to use when you need them. But, you know, you're a handyman. If you use all your tools for every job, you're doing something wrong.
You're going to be buff, though, carrying all those tools
around.
That's
right, bro. That's right. And so even for the person listening who, you know, one cool story recently, shout out to Amber. This girl, Amber, came to Mosaic for the very first time, and she heard about it from the podcast. And someone suggested it to her, but she, you know, her and I had a great conversation about being new to this journey of faith. And so, you know, one of the most encouraging things talking to Amber was just realizing that the dialogues that we have on the show are trying to make things accessible for even people new in faith. This isn't like Spirituality 201, 301. Like, this can be helpful for everybody. And so if you're listening and you are someone who admittedly doesn't really have a good framework for prayer, I would encourage you, I don't care if you're 5 or 50, you know, wow, help, sorry, thanks. Put that in your journal. Super simple way to just go through those movements of prayer that Jesus called us to. I loved your breakdown of your translations. I think that's really great.
Yeah. I have it right here. More tips. Find a church. I'm so glad that Amber came to church from the podcast.
Yeah.
The praying with your kids is great, but Boy, do they? Do you want to surround them by as many not even like-minded, but just like people that are gonna like take care of them,
united right? in or that just, mission? Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I told you the story about Jack's friend, and he said, you know, you need a girlfriend, otherwise people will think you're gay. Like, he's at school 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
He hangs out with his friends. I get to pray with him a couple minutes a day. I spend, you know, an hour, 2 hours with him, whatever, yeah. working all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, find a church. Go to the Friend Factory, okay?
Yeah.
Take your kids with you.
My oldest right now is starting to see, she hasn't been in pre-K, and, you know, throughout the last 2 years, like, there's not a lot of kids to play with. And then when the winter months, like, we're not outside playing and stuff. And so for her, she's like, I like church because I get to play with my friends.
Yes.
And just like that, if I can keep that going for the next 15 years of her life, that like, oh, I like church because that's where my friends are. You know, obviously I don't want to isolate her from the world, but it's just a really beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, if people have questions, I'm going to have them reach out to me and I'm just going to send them to you. Deal.
Yes.
I'm not going to put your email out on blast into the internet, but
yeah, I don't even have any social media. So
love it, dude. Love it. Great. Okay, dude. Thanks for just pouring into kids, especially being a man doing it. I think, you know, we serve a lot of families where kids don't get to see their dads as much or lack that strong male role model. So I'm really tender for you and grateful for the ways you contribute. You and Becky are rock stars.
So she's my church boss, right?
Yeah.
So I came here first.
Yeah, but fact, she went past
I got,
you.
Actually, when we met, I was going here, and I'd been here for like a year maybe.
Yeah.
And she was going to some other church.
Mm.
And I was like, all right, well, if we're going to date, like, we should kind of go to church together. That's a good idea. She's like, well, my church is great, and it's over here. It's like, well, my church is great, it's over here, and I serve at my church. Do
Boom.
You serve at your church?
Boom.
She said, no, I have obligations to fulfill at my church. So we worked this out where we go to my church, Mosaic,
uh-huh.
three times, and then we'll go to her church once. We did that one time. And then she was like, nah, I'm going over here with you. But anyway, I'd been serving for 2 years, you know, a year and a half at that point, and she was promoted to my church boss like 4 months after she started serving. So
church bros,
yeah,
that's great. You guys are doing something right. I love your kids. It's true. Like as strategic as you've been, it is still chaos. So everyone who's listening, just be realistic with yourself. It's a season. Give yourself grace. But there's a foundation being built here that I'm very optimistic and excited to see your kids specifically grow, knowing that they've had this for a long time and trying to copy you for that too.
Let's do it in 10 years and I'll tell you, none of it worked.
Yeah,
it was all garbage. They all turned out horribly.
2032.
All right.
We'll do it.
Let's do it.
All right. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, man.
All right.